going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
More than 3 months after the Eaton fire, we still don't know precisely why Altadena residents didn't receive evacuation orders until well after neighborhoods had burned down.
The neighborhood burned down around 2 to 3 a.m., but we got no warning. But some people did, online.
You never got one?
No, not at all.
On a more hopeful note, the animals are returning to L.A. County's burn zones.
My wife said, hey, you know, have you seen any parrots lately? And I go, oh my God, no. I actually haven't. I feel like it's been really quiet. And it was a day later, we hear this. We go outside and we're like, they're back. Oh my God.
Is that the sound a parrot makes? Who knew? Welcome to the Hump Day edition for the LA Local for Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. The LA Local is brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your squawking host, Jonathan Service. We're going to spend some time back in Altadena today, where debris clearance is ongoing and the rebuilding effort is still in its earliest stages, and where a lot of questions remain about why and how the LA County Emergency Alert System failed so miserably to alert residents there before the fire had reached deadly levels. Tying into all of this is a new UCLA Quality of Life survey for LA County residents, where it's pretty clear that the fires have caused a kind of countywide post-traumatic stress disorder. We're also going to hear about wild animals being spotted wandering the burn zones again. So, at least one bright spot. And at the end of today's show, maybe those old marijuana scare movies were onto something. New research is warning of marijuana-induced psychosis for teenage smokers. But let's start back in Altadena, where most neighborhoods didn't receive evacuation calls from the LA County Emergency Alert System on that early morning of January 8th until the fire was already chewing through homes. We're still lacking for precise answers on what went so horribly wrong with the alert system. But we do have some clues. The LA Times reported sources identifying failures by LA County sheriff and fire officials to notify the county's Office of Emergency Management to sound the alarm. That theory is making more sense with the news we learned today. More than 1,400 calls came into Pasadena's 911 switchboards the night of the Eaton fire, before structures actually started to burn. Our Natalie Tavidian went out to Altadena to ask people living in and around the fire zones about their experiences that night.
This couple escaped the night of the Eaton fire from their Altadena home at 3 a.m.
My daughter was getting up as well, and she was like, I think there's smoke in room around 3:30. And she was like, I think there's smoke in my room. And we were all like in a haze, just grabbed the bag, grabbed our animals and left. But around that time, when we were already up getting things together, then we got the notification. I never heard a megaphone or anything either, which I've heard people have said. I don't know. I mean, if we were heavy sleepers and we didn't get that an alert, I've thought about that. Like, how smoky would it have gotten? Yep. And we had really sealed windows. Our air was off because the power is off.
Others left much earlier, like this woman who says a neighbor told her she should leave.
I don't know if I got one even at 3. I left at 6:30 a.m. I'm p.m.
You left at 6:30 p.m.?
Yeah.
Because of what you saw that night?
No, because of my neighbor called me and said there were fires nearby. I had no clue.
The Eaton Fire killed at least 17 people and destroyed more than 9,000 buildings, becoming the fifth deadliest and second most destructive wildfire in California history.
I want to stick with Natalie for a minute longer because she talked to more Altadena residents and got eerily similar stories about their experiences in those early hours of January 8th.
Take you back to that night. Did you guys ever get a warning?
We did get a warning at 3:30 or something. Mm-hmm. However, one of my best friends happened to be in Taiwan at the time, and I was very 39 weeks pregnant. And oh, I'm sorry. I know you really want to. Right. And so my friend was like, "You should go to sleep. I'm gonna download the fire watch duty, and I'll call you if anything happens." She called me, and she was like, "Hey, all of a sudden the app went from like nothing in your area, and you were still fine, to all of a sudden like evacuate now. So like you gotta go." And we had already packed a little bag of stuff.
What is your reaction to hearing that 911 calls or we're coming in, but the alerts didn't happen until 3 a.m. for a lot of people?
It's a big misstep, you know? It's like, I think we have a really opportunity as the country we are to have much better infrastructure to alert people. And especially if you have the ability to alert people, but some people aren't getting alerted, that's a really, really, really big problem. There should be massive megaphones installed on huge poles that just go off. I mean, I don't know. This is a fire overtaking our community. How are people not getting alerted? It's absolutely insane, honestly.
Or the stories that we've heard from people who are like either elderly or, you know, unable to leave their home. We have a friend in Pasadena who his mom lived near Eaton Canyon and was evacuated, but she's disabled. And they literally were moving a disabled person at 3 a.m. who has like no movement of her body. And they were just like, how is this our life? So like the fact that people didn't take precautions ahead of time also just caused way more trauma for people. Like if we left at 10 p.m., it would have been way better than 3:30 a.m.
All of this rolls right into our next story. Concerns over the high cost of living push the satisfaction of Los Angeles County residents back to its lowest ever level. That's in a new quality of life survey from UCLA. The survey found worries about the high housing costs, homelessness, but an undercurrent throughout the entire survey were lingering anxieties from the January fires. We talked about it with Zev Yaroslavsky, who served as both a LA County Supervisor and LA City Councilman. He now directs the Quality of Life Survey at UCLA.
The story of our survey this year was the fire. The fire, of course, impacted the people in the Palisades and in Altadena most acutely. People lost their homes, they lost their businesses, and a number of them lost their lives. So those were the people who paid the highest price. But it had a ripple effect across the county. 14% of the people we surveyed say they lost income because of the fire. Either they lost it because they lost their job or because they had their hours reduced. People like gardeners, people who worked at people's homes, people who worked at stores that were burned. This is a ripple effect that is scarring. Another example is that there are 25% of the people we surveyed said that they were concerned that they were going to have to evacuate their home. They didn't evacuate, but they were concerned that they had to evacuate. So this is a quarter of the population of our county that at one point or another was worried about having to evacuate their home.
Zev compared the fires in Altadena and the Palisades to a massive earthquake and said they found evidence of a collective PTSD.
The fire was a shared trauma across the entire county of Los Angeles. A significant percentage of people, almost a third, wore masks during the fire, the first several days of the fire, because of the air pollution caused by the smoke. People lost their homes. They lost their jobs. They lost income. It was a shared trauma that rippled across the San Gabriel Valley to the ocean, from the North County area in the Antelope Valley all the way to the South Bay. This fire experience is unlike any other we've ever had. Most of our wildfires are isolated in an area. They're confined to an area. They burn a lot of acreage. Sometimes they burn homes, but they're out there. They don't impact the metropolitan area in the way that this one did. This fire is one where everybody had a stake in it. And we had not just Altadena and Pasadena and Palisades. We also had fires in Runyon Canyon and Sylmar. There were smaller fires that, but for the graces of God, that could have spread very easily into some of the urban areas of Southern California. So these fires in January will have a lasting impact, not unlike a major earthquake would have, or the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, or the pandemic. This was the kind of thing that will not soon be in the rearview mirror for Southern Californians.
And Zev makes a really good point there. We forget, with all the focus on the massive fires in Altadena and the Palisades, that multiple smaller fires broke out that entire week. A couple in the valley, one in the same area that the Woolsey fire broke out in Calabasas, and of course the one in the Hollywood Hills. So people were scared and remain scarred. Let's go back to our Natalie Tavidian in Altadena to end this segment on a happy note, at least. As people are coming back to the fire zones to rebuild, it seems like wild animals are also venturing back into the areas.
So you've been back now. Let's talk about wildlife. What have you noticed?
I drove past a house that basically houses peacocks, and there are peacocks running around in neighborhoods again. Yeah.
Just the other day, a coyote was walking in my neighbor's front yard, and I was like, oh, my son, my older son, we were like, oh my gosh, there's a coyote, because normally we would see them every single day.
Yeah.
And then just yesterday, a coyote actually, I thought it was a dog from far away, was roaming around the streets, and I almost pulled over, and I was like, oh, that's a coyote. They're back. And I've seen a few bunnies too, which is great because we hadn't seen any bunnies.
The parrots. My wife said, hey, you know, have you seen any parrots lately? And I go, oh my God, no. I actually haven't. I feel like it's been really quiet. And it was a day later, we hear this. We go outside and we're like, they're back. Oh my God. Huge flock of green parrots.
Yeah. To that, what's your reaction to seeing that? It's like the animals versus the dogs.
I think it's, we got to get back to nature. And getting back to taking care of our land is the first thing. And then we can start to, you know, kind of rebuild. And that always comes first. So that's a great sign of things to come.
Nature does heal, but boy, do we have a long way to go. All right, we're ending today's show on a high note. But it's a different sort of high, if you know what I mean. Maybe Reefer Madness, the old marijuana scare movie from the 1930s, was onto something when it portrayed pot-smoking teenagers as crazed psychopaths.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently, they dance. Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Okay, I will admit I watched Reefer Madness in college, of course, while smoking pot throughout, and generally laughed off and brushed off the concerns. However, there is new research that really should give teens and young adults some serious pause before sparking their next bowl. As teens increasingly have access to more powerful marijuana products, scientists are seeing an increase in cannabis-related psychosis. KNX News reporter Emily Valdez harshes our buzz.
This isn't the same weed people smoked 20 years ago. The THC content can be 300 times higher. Genetically modified, researchers say it can permanently damage teens' developing brains.
What we're starting to see more of is people who are essentially, they stop using and they're basically developing a chronic psychotic disorder even when they're not using cannabis.
We're talking disorders like schizophrenia, psychotic manias. Carrie Bearden is a professor of psychiatry, behavioral sciences, and psychology at UCLA.
The typical age of onset of when these psychotic disorders develop is in like late adolescence, early adulthood. And so that rate is dramatically increased in youth that are using cannabis.
Bearden suggests parents talk to their teens about the risk of permanent marijuana-related psychosis.
So just back away from the bong, young people. This has been the LA Local for Wednesday, April 16th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, reminding all of you to be more like Bill Clinton and don't inhale. See you tomorrow.